It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, which was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. This is the word of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Spirit of the living God, who is here with us, and those of us who are listening, worshiping from home, Lord, move our hearts to understand what the biblical author is trying to point out, Lord. Why did you inspire this to be your word? So, Lord, may you speak to us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on this series on discipleship based on the book of by Oswald Sanders, Spiritual Discipleship. And this is based on the chapter under the disciples' love. Now, can you remember a time where you were generous and very extravagant to someone? Can you remember a time where you were very extravagant to someone? Now, it could be the time or the effort you made to take care of somebody. Maybe it was splurging an extravagant meal or a gift to someone you love or to a family member. When I proposed to my wife, Serene, 16 years ago, I surprised her by flying to where she was. I bought a plane ticket and a ring to Sabah. She was at her parents' place. And I told her to pick me up at Kota Kinabalu Airport and propose to her there. So I can be quite romantic. Don't always think I'm a dull person, huh? But my wife will probably say that's the one and only lah. Now, it was a very extravagant thing to do at that time because I was a poor theological student. But she, of course, deserves the very best, right? We will do extravagant things to the one we love. We don't count the cost because the love we have for that person is worth it. Cannot be quantified. And this is something we see in our passage today. Mark records this account of a woman who gave extravagantly to the Lord. But it's also very significant the way that Mark records this account. He tells us the time and the context surrounding this account. In verse 1, he tells us that it is 2 days before the Passover. This day and this week is what we understand as the Holy Week. In a few days' time, a crowd will murder Jesus. They will shout, "Crucify him." And Jesus himself is aware that the Passover feast is a mirror to his death at the cross. He will be the lamb that will be sacrificed for our sin. And then Mark also highlights two conversations in front and at the end of the story of the woman who offered her gift. In verse 2, he tells us that the religious leaders were discussing of a sly way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. They hated him. They wanted him dead. But it is not only those who hated Jesus who wants to kill him. In verse 11, Judas, a disciple who is supposed to love Jesus and to follow him, someone who Jesus is supposed to trust, betrayed him. And the story ends with this betrayal and this partnership between Judas and the Pharisees, forging a partnership to kill Jesus. That is the background of this story. It is Jesus' final week. There are people who hated him, and there are people whom he trusted, plotting his death. Jesus was at a critical point of his life. But yet, against this backdrop of hatred and betrayal, Mark puts this story in the center. He tells us of this unnamed woman, in Mark's account, who entered into the dining hall where Jesus was with a flask of ointment. Now, it's common practice during that time to sprinkle a few drops of perfume, sweet smelling, on the head of your guests. Your guests may arrive hot, dusty from the road of Jerusalem, the streets there, tired, sweaty. So as part of hospitality, to wash the feet of your guests and to put a little bit of perfume to make them smell good, that is hospitality. But then Mark tells us that this woman went beyond the usual practice. Three words he wrote that should jump out to us and should catch our attention. First, pure nard. Now, I read a Bible dictionary. Pure nard is drawn from a plant called spikenard, and it is the root of a plant that grows in the Himalayan mountains. Pure nard gives a robust and distinctive aroma that will cling on to the skin of the person, and that fragrance will be with you for a few days. The second word Mark highlights is very costly. Not just costly, very costly. You see, pure nard during those times is very rare. This ointment is likely to be imported. And Mark tells us the approximate value of this ointment, 300 denarii. It is equal to 1 year's salary of most people during Jesus' time. So what do you earn in a year? Probably that's the value of what she has. And some scholars, they propose that this flask of pure nard could have been passed down as an inheritance. It could well be a dowry for her marriage. And a good dowry in those days is the gateway to marry into a very wealthy family, and your life will be taken care of. The third thing that Mark tells us is shocking. She broke the flask. She broke this rare and expensive flask. She broke it means that this bottle was never been in use for any occasion or any person. And then Mark tells us, she poured. She did not sprinkle a few drops as what the normal practice would be. She poured it over his head. Imagine the content on Jesus' head flowing down, dripping to his body. And that fragrance is going to stay with him probably for the rest of the week. Why? Why did the woman pour this rare and expensive ointment on Jesus? This thing will probably be the most precious thing that this woman ever had. She could have kept it, you know, like a CPF, a security for the rest of her life. She could have sold it and enjoy a very comfortable lifestyle. Even if she wants to adore Jesus, she could have used something cheaper or imitation. Nobody in that room would smell the difference. And if she really wants to do it, just a tiny opening will do. Why break? Just apply a few drops. That's the hospitality then. But she poured it over Jesus. Why is she so extravagant with the Lord? I believe that for the woman, Jesus is more precious than the thing she has. After dinner, Jesus will leave for Jerusalem. She only has this one chance to serve him. So she seized the opportunity and glorify him with the best of her gift. Brothers and sisters, what is it for you and I to love Jesus? For the woman, it is expending this gift that she has, and that tells that Jesus is more precious than what she has. Do we recognize that? Do we recognize that the Lord is more precious than whatever that we could possibly have? There's an irony in this story. Mark tells us in verse 4 and 5, you know, when some saw what has happened and they smelled the fragrance in that room, they were greatly afflicted. And that is what the word indignant means in the original Greek, original language. Affected badly in their heart. They were angry. They were horrified by the woman's spontaneous action of pouring that pure nard on Jesus. The first thing that runs in their mind is, why was this ointment wasted? They were not only angry, verse 5. They scold the woman. What right do they have to scold the woman? Did the woman use their perfume? Did the woman use their money? It's an irony. Then they justify that, you know, it could have been sold to give to the poor. Basically, they are saying, you know, come on, woman, be more practical. Turn that alabaster jar into hard cash and do something useful about it. Donate to the poor. Do anything. Don't waste on Jesus. Were they sincere? Were they sincere about helping the poor? Maybe. But the story ends with Judas agreeing to betray Jesus for some money. Evidently, Judas was very affected by this wastage, that he did not benefit from this offering. In another gospel, Matthew records a similar account, and he says that it was Jesus' disciples who were scolding this woman. They were angry with him, with her. Troubling, isn't it? The disciples who is supposedly believing that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Savior, he's the Lord, he deserves all the worship. But then, when it comes to pouring the very best on Jesus, it is a waste. Have you ever been scolded for wasting your time, your talent, and your money on Jesus? Have you been in situations and conversations where you are scorned, you are rebuked, you are ridiculed? You know, why you waste your time serving the church? Your Saturday and Sundays, you could do better. Sleep in a bit longer. Perhaps the one that is discouraging you may be a fellow Christian whom you thought will support you, you know, in this calling. Maybe you are the one who is questioning yourself. Why am I wasting my time, my resources, my energy on Jesus? Everyone thinks that pouring this precious thing on Jesus is a waste. In the book, Spiritual Discipleship, Oswald Sanders, he quoted this illustration of a young and brilliant Cambridge scholar by the name of Henry Martin. At the age of 20, Martin gained the highest award in mathematics during his time. But he gave up his prospects and served as a missionary for 7 years. He died at the age of 31 because of a fever. From a secular perspective, what a waste. Young man, full of potential, gave to the Lord and died because he gave to the Lord on the mission field, had a fever. But in those 7 years, God used him to translate the New Testament into Urdu, an Indian dialect. He also translated the New Testament and the Book of Psalms, into Persian. And his work provided a breakthrough to reach the most challenging, unreached people group. He gave them the Word of God in their language. What seems to be a waste provided eternal life for an unreached group. Brothers and sisters, there is no waste when you do it unto Jesus. What is a waste from a world's perspective is a beautiful thing when it's done unto Jesus. And that is what Jesus tells us in verse 6. She has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done a beautiful thing to me. You know, the word beautiful here does not mean attractive in appearance. What the word beautiful here in the original language describes is something of high purpose and value. It is noble. It is praiseworthy. And this is what the woman has done. A noble, praiseworthy, a beautiful thing to Jesus. Why is that woman's action beautiful, noble, and of great value? After all, I mean, we're just talking about a flask of perfume, right? It's not so much the cost that she poured over Jesus' head, but the significance of her action. You see, in the Old Testament, the pouring of oil or ointment over someone's head is to anoint a king or the high priest. And the pouring of oil marks their appointment for that sacred office. So if one views from this lens, what just happened is not just an expression of overwhelming hospitality. She anointed the high priest, the mediator between God and man. She crowned the King of Kings. Amazing. God used a woman, the lowest during those society then, crown him. And in verse 8, Jesus recognized what she has done. He said to her, to the crowd, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Jesus is at Bethany. Mark told us in verse 3. To Jerusalem is just a short distance, a walking distance. And Jesus knows that the moment he enters into Jerusalem, he will face persecution and death. He will carry the cross. And the reality of Roman crucifixion is that it's not just the torture and the death. Criminals of the cross will probably be denied the full burial ritual that takes a couple of days, a long time to mourn. They have to do it quick. And this is something so important to the Jewish people. And since the woman poured pure nard over Jesus, that smell will stick with him for the next few days. That fragrance will accompany and encourage Jesus in his darkest moment. But he will remember God has anointed him for this purpose. God has prepared him for his death that will lead to his resurrection. The woman probably didn't think so much about what she has done. She didn't understand the significance of her offering. But Jesus did. For the Son of God, she has prepared him for his death and resurrection. And she made a priceless contribution to God's salvation plan. The people at the dining hall did not see any value in what she has done. To them, you wasted your life. You wasted your possessions. You should have given it to the poor. But Jesus is not against giving to the poor. He made it clear. In verse 7, he says, you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good to them. Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. And there is a command that says, you will never there will never cease to be poor in the land. And God commanded his people then, therefore you should open your hand wide to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in the land. Jesus said, yes, I affirm that. That this is God's command, that we must care for the poor. Jesus is not negating that. His ministry itself is one that feeds the poor, ministers for the poor. He came to serve the lowest in society. However, what Jesus is saying, that the opportunity to serve him will be very brief. And Mark has already hinted a couple of times in this passage, Jesus just has a few days to live. And this immediate, this short-lived opportunity must take priority. And that is something that the woman grabbed hold of. I only have this moment with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord has affirmed you to serve him in an area, in a place, that opportunity to serve him may be a short time only. It is limited to our lifespan. And this short life, there will always be needs to meet, permanent obligations to fulfill. But that which Jesus called us has to take that immediate priority. If we let it slip by, we will miss that wonderful opportunity to be what, to be part of what God wants to do in and through us. And that is something that this woman in the story grabbed hold of. And because she did, the Lord honors her. There's a command in verse 9, and Jesus said this: wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying what she has done will be part of God's word. Her story, God imprinted her story, her testimony, her love and devotion to be part of his word to us today. The gospel is not complete until her story is being told. Every gospel writer writes a story. In all four gospels, there is mention of this woman, slight variations. And her fragrance, her devotion to Jesus, did not just stay there that week, 2,000 years ago. It continues to permeate in all generations as we hear her story. And what it highlights is that, you know, God will never forget the love and the devotion that you pour out to him. You may forget it, you may not see the significance of your feeble offering, but God sees it. He will not forget it. In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10, it says this: for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown in his name in serving the saints, as you still do. God is not unjust. He will remember every act of service to him. We heard, what have we heard so far? We heard how a woman gave sacrificially and selflessly to the Lord. People around criticized and scolded her. They don't see any value in what she did. But to Jesus, she did a beautiful thing. If the woman kept the flask, it would still be worth 300 denarii. But when she broke it and poured it onto Jesus, it became priceless. She anointed God for his death and resurrection, and she is honored throughout the whole generations. She'll be remembered for eternity. So what can we learn and apply from this account? You know, some thoughts run through my mind as I was reflecting on this story as I prepared the sermon. Firstly, the text shows us how we can love Jesus extravagantly. And it led me to reflect, you know, if I'm following Jesus just to get something out of it, is our relationship with the Lord motivated by what I can get out of this? Is it also what can I give and offer to the Lord? You know, sometimes the way that we pray, if we evaluate our prayers, and I also evaluated mine, it's always, Lord, I want something, do this, can you do that, can I have this? But how much of my prayer is just to adore Jesus for who he is? How much of my prayer is about me giving? Brothers and sisters, every day is an opportunity to express our devotion to the Lord. And do we seize this opportunity to honor him? You know, those of you who are students, you're having your school holiday, a long break. You can wake up late and can be consumed the whole day with the screen. Will there be room to pour out some time for devotion with the Lord? God has blessed us with time, talent, and money. Are we also generous with the Lord in these areas? But why? Why should we love Jesus with such extravagance? This table reminds us why. It is he who has first poured out his very best to us, his very life. And these elements that you just partake reminds us that Jesus is the first to pour out his love, his extravagant love for you and I. No one can imagine God doing this, but that's how much he loves you. You know, the woman has done what she could. God is not expecting us to do what we cannot do, but what we can do, what is within our means. And that is something she grabbed hold of. I'm very encouraged to see glimpses of such extravagant service. You think that, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's going to shape lives for eternity. A few weeks ago, I attended the Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade Enrollment and Dedication Service through Zoom, the one in our junior companies which we serve, Henderson Primary School. And it took me some time to recognize the, especially when I went over to the Girls Brigade Enrollment Service, it took me some time to recognize who are these officers, because they were in their uniform and their cap, put on their makeup, I think. And they are our church members, most of them mothers. And I was wondering, you know, why this father in the Boys Brigade and why these mothers would spend their Fridays preparing the lessons and serving the children in our community. That is extravagant love for the Lord. And I think a lot of you are doing that what you could, whether it's at the PA, whether you're preparing the Holy Communion, giving your life and your energy to serving the youth, shepherding. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. You know, like the woman, she may not understand the significance of what she has done, but God sees an eternal value. The bookend to this story is one of hatred and one of betrayal. But sandwiched in between them is this extravagant act of love And this woman's action overshadowed what these evil plots want to take place. And what she did fulfilled God's plan. She prepared the Son of God for the cross. She will be remembered for eternity. Jesus said so. He made it. He commanded it, that it must be told. Brothers and sisters, when you are extravagant with Jesus, you will not win the applause of the world. Nobody is going to clap their hands and say, "You have done well," those who do not know the Lord. Maybe those who know the Lord will also oppose to what you are doing. People think it's foolish to give our time, our talent, and our money to serve the Lord. But must remember something. Nothing is wasted when it's given unto the Lord. Because the love behind that service is the fragrance to the Lord. A waste becomes a beautiful thing when it's given unto Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, you love us, you serve us, you died for us. You wasted your life on us that we may have eternal life with the Lord. May we respond to your love in the ways that you have called us, Lord. Even then, it is never a waste. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Srima, for preaching the message to us. The song Alabaster Jar, will this song be your response to whatever God has just spoken to you? Let this song be your dedication.